now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena, and happy hump day. Or shall I say National Dress Day?
What is that?
It's a National Dress Day.
I'm supposed to wear a dress?
Well, it's supposed to be a celebration of the dress.
You're kidding.
Apparently.
I need you to stop.
Yeah, apparently it was a day today, March 6th, coined by the fashion designer Ashley Laurent to help her pay homage to dresses and the magical moments that happen when you wear them.
Okay. You know what? To be fair, in our second hour, we'll be honoring the late Iris Apfel. And so fashion is very much in theme. So saved by another theme.
Yeah.
All right. There's apparently a day to mark each day. Thanks for that, yeah. Adam. Can we get started?
I don't know why I keep updating you with these, but it just keeps popping up. And I find it interesting, you know, a fun fact for the day for everyone.
Yeah.
Shall I stop? I don't know.
It's like another segment within the segment. I appreciate the attempt. Okay, let's get started. All right. As always, we're going to try to clarify some of the major headlines for our listeners, starting with, of course, the ongoing medical strike. It looks like the government is ready to begin taking legal action. Our first keyword of the day.
License suspension.
So the government is sending out notices about suspending the medical license of residents who have not yet returned to work, sparking what could be the start of a mass series of suspensions. Now, logistically, they can't suspend licenses of thousands of doctors at once, but it's in the works anyway. What's the latest?
Yeah, so they can't do it en masse in one go. So they're basically targeting leaders of these organizations or the kind of, you know, the organizers of these collective actions first. And of course, it may trickle down. Of course, the tensions between the government and medical community because of this are escalating. Some medical school professors also are joining in the collective action, some of them shaving their heads and others tendering their resignations. And ironically, this came after 40 medical schools actually applied for additional admission seats that way exceeded the government's planned increase of 2,000 more slots. The number was put at just over 3,400. So there's definitely a demand for it at these medical schools, but professors there aren't too happy about it. Now, the government began the formal process to suspend the medical licenses of around 7,000 non-returning residents. It's also planning to file complaints against the leaders of the collective action, so police could get involved. Now, the government is adamant about reforming the medical sector, asserting that public health cannot be compromised by the actions of a few. Measures are being taken to ensure medical services continue, albeit with increasing difficulty, of course, as the number of available medical professionals decreases. And hospitals are reducing surgeries, delaying treatments, and considering merging wards as well, or reducing beds due to the shortage of staff. And there's also military hospitals that have opened to the public as well.
I'm not quite sure if this is related, but because I stumbled upon a few articles I thought I might share with our listeners, I was looking at a Newsweek's annual tally of top 250 best hospitals across the world. Mm-hmm. And actually 17 of South Korean General Hospitals made the cut. Only one is outside the capital region. What does that say about also these medical schools outside of the Seoul capital area that wants a bigger expansion of medical students? Now, if we can somehow ensure that students that graduate from those med schools in different regions outside the capital area stay there, that's something that Japan has done about 9 years ago.
Yeah.
It might be helpful in that discussion of regional discrepancies being narrowed ever so slightly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one because it's not just the medical field that's, you know, concentrated in the capital region. I mean, Korea as a whole, across many industries and fields, everything's pretty much concentrated in the capital region.
Politics,
and there's less
culture.
Incentive. Yeah. Politics, culture, there's less incentive for people to stay outside of the capital region or go there in the first place. So, of course, it's a kind of a widespread problem, not just isolated to the medical field. But that is something, of course, that the government is trying, at least, to overcome. But, of course, as we've been reporting for many days now, it's not as easy
as it sounds.
It's not an easy of a journey as well.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Just one element I want to unpack this morning. Let's move on to our second key word. President Yoon wants to at least target helping the younger population. We are the future, our second key word of the day.
Youth support.
Are we youth?
Yeah, let's say we are.
All right. So President Yoon has announced policies to aid young people in the country, including more scholarships, tax benefits, and savings programs to help them get started in societies. Can you tell us the details?
Yeah, I think we're kind of on the boundary of the category of youth, but we're also the future, aren't we? It reminds me of the Michael Jackson song lyric. I forgot the name of the song. But anyway, he was speaking in what was the 17th public livelihood debate in Gwangmyeong, that's just south of Seoul. Yoon proposed to significantly increase beneficiaries of state scholarships from the current 1 million college students to 1.5 million. Now, the government announced it will launch a new housing scholarship as well to provide up to 2.4 million won annually to help students ease students' rent concerns. It will increase the number of people receiving work-study scholarships as well, from the current 120,000 to 200,000 from next year. This is basically to enable students to earn tuition money and living expenses both on and off campus while studying and working. Now, Yoon also vowed to provide more generous support for young parents, including single parents, and promptly launch a program that makes advanced payments of child support. Mm. Now, this is part of efforts to address not only helping the youth, but also the country's low birth rate as well. Yoon further outlined plans to introduce tax exemptions on allowances given by companies to employees giving birth to lower the burden on companies and increase the number of beneficiaries. There was a company recently who kind of adopted this program of giving expanded allowances to companies or employees who were awaiting to have a child, but
like a 100 million won check.
Right, but there was some criticism because there's tax involved in that check as well. So ultimately, the recipient has to pay tax on that allowance. So
roughly of course, half of that 100 million won.
Right, exactly. So, of course, it kind of defeats the point of, you know, benefits associated with childbirth, because money is often a reason why there's low birth rate. But if you try to help the problem with money and then you have to take... But anyway, I go on. But anyway.
It's help, but not as big as promise. So if we can help it, we should probably fix it.
It's help with strings. But anyway, he additionally noted plans to help young people save money as well by easing the terms of a bank account, offering higher than open market interest rates from a minimum 5 years to a minimum of 3 years. Now, the government will also ease the terms. It's a youth savings account that gives 6% on earnings if you have a wage of, I think it was 6 million won. Don't quote me on that, but there is a kind of a minimum salary requirement that's involved, but it is a savings account for young people offering high interest rates. And you can hold it for longer as well.
Mm. All right, we'll leave it there for now so we can move on to our third keyword of the day.
Defense cost sharing.
So South Korea and the United States named each country's chief negotiators for the upcoming talks between the two countries on sharing the costs of keeping U.S. troops in Korea. Pundits say that this is in line with the possibility of the former U.S. President Donald Trump's return to the White House. What's the latest, Adam?
Right, so Korea named Lee Tae-woo, a Korea diplomat and former consul general in Sydney, to head the South Korean side. Senior advisor and the U.S. lead negotiator for security agreements in the Bureau of Political Military Affairs, Linda Specht, will lead the U.S. Delegation. Now, this time, the negotiations will return to being led by a Korea diplomat after the previous SMA was negotiated by Chung Eun-po, a former vice chairperson of the Financial Services Commission. Now, the two countries have yet to specify when the Special Measures Agreement, or SMA, negotiations will begin. The last one was in April 2021, which applies for 6 years from 2020 to 2024. 5. But negotiations for the next SMA are starting earlier than usual, which some speculate could be a precaution for the potential re-election of the former US President Donald Trump. We all know when he was in the White House, his policies regarding defense cost sharing. He wants Korea basically to cough up more of the cost of housing US troops here in South Korea. But both countries have emphasized that the negotiations aim to strengthen the combined defense posture and solidify the Korea-US alliance. Of course, they won't be saying that outright, but there is speculation. Yeah. But off the record, there is basically speculation that, yeah, it's a kind of a precaution and a preemptive move before
the possibility
primaries are looking possible towards another Biden-Trump rebattle, if you will. And so we all know the policies that were held under Trump, and it doesn't seem they're going to be any different this time round. But we'll have to see anyway until November if any of these worries or concerns were warranted.
Or maybe we'll have a chance to cover Super Tuesday in the United States in no time. But for now, let's move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
North Korea coordinator.
So North Korea is moving to reopen various diplomatic channels since the major shutdown of the pandemic. The UN has appointed a new resident coordinator to oversee the work of international organizations related to North Korea. What's more?
Right. So UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres appointed Joe Colombano, the former senior coordinator at the UN resident coordinator's office in China. The UN resident coordinator basically plays a crucial role in coordinating the work of various UN agencies within a country. This appointment has been approved by North Korean authorities, marking a significant development as it could signal the return of international organizations such as the World Health Organization and the UN Development Programme to Pyongyang for the first time since the pandemic. Now, it also comes amid reports that some European countries sent their diplomats to the north or are working to do so in what appears to be a move to ultimately resume the operation of their missions in Pyongyang that were, of course, halted during the pandemic. Now, the timing for Colombano's entry into North Korea is currently being discussed between the UN and North Korean authorities. Asked if other personnel from UN agencies will be able to enter the north, the UN spokesman Stefan Dujarric said that related discussions are underway with the north. Now, Colombano is currently working remotely from the UN office in Bangkok. Before his entry into the north, we don't know, of course, when that is yet, or whether he will be staying in Bangkok to kind of work remotely in regards to streamlining these agencies in the north. But there we have it. So it seems like North Korea is opening its doors more and more to more Western embassies and organizations as well. So whether that will help in any kind of negotiations or dialogue regarding weapons programs remains to be seen. But it's a start anyway.
All right. Opening the borders. Let's move on to our final keyword of the day.
GNI rebound.
So South Korea's gross national income, GNI per capita, rebounded last year as the won currency stabilized amid signs of a recovery in Korea's exports. Can you run us through the details of the latest report?
Yeah, so it seems like some good news, but slightly, so wouldn't take it read too much into it, so do take it with a grain of salt. BOK data shows the GNI per capita rose 2.6% to $33,745 in 2023 from the previous year, where the income dropped 7.4%. Now, the recovery came as the Korean won eased 1% against the greenback on average last year. The figure drawn up by dividing national income in a year by population helps basically evaluate the standard of living. Yet, though Korea's GNI per capita has increased, it remains in the $30,000 box for seven straight years, still unable to grow to the $40,000 range. It broke the $30,000 range in 2017, but that was after basically 11 years being stuck in the $20,000 range. Now, the central bank projects Korea's GNI per capita to show a steady increase unless a spike in the exchange rate or any external events like COVID-19 takes place again. Now, the exchange rate is also relatively stable at the moment at around 30.31 against the greenback. Meanwhile, Korea's real GDP, a key measure of economic growth, increased by 1.4% last year, but that's nearly half of the 2.6% of the previous year, showing the local economy remains relatively slow in 2023. Exports are showing promising signs, increasing by 3.5%. Imports are advancing by 1.4% on quarter. Looking forward, exports are expected to continue their positive trend into the first quarter, but recovery in private consumption may slow as well. So there has been anticipation that construction investment could remain subdued due to decreased new orders and investment sentiment, but increased private and government infrastructure investment could mitigate this. So we'll have to see. But some promising, but not so promising.
it's quite relative, isn't it?
I want to be careful with my words when discussing economic data because I don't want to sound too rosy, but keep expectations in check, basically.
Thank you very much for today's coverage and keep your expectations in check and covering the holiday. Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.